And we turn now to several individuals who have extensive experience working in the Senate and in the House. Martin Paone, the Democratic Senate Secretary from 1995 to 2008. He is a 30-year Senate veteran who sat beside Senator Tom Daschle, who was then the Senate Minority Leader during President Clinton's impeachment trial. He's now currently a senior advisor at Prime Policy Group here in Washington. Elizabeth Krish, she was the Republican Senate Secretary from 1995 to 2001. She's a 26-year Senate veteran. She sat beside Senate Majority Leader Trent Lott at the time during President Clinton's trial. She's currently a principal at Congressional Global Strategies. Margaret Taylor worked on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee from 2013 to 2018 as Deputy Chief Counsel, then as Democratic Chief Counsel and Deputy Staff Director. Margaret Taylor was also an attorney at the Department of State for 10 years. She's currently a Governance Studies Fellow at the Brookings Institution and a Senior Editor at Lawfare. And John Hart, he worked for Congressman Tom Coburn, Republican of Oklahoma, during the Clinton impeachment trial. He's currently a GOP consultant for Mars Hill Strategies. He works on congressional campaigns, and he works for corporate and nonprofit clients. And hello to all of you. You've been here with me during our live coverage today. We appreciate your sticking around. I know you're going to be here on into the evening. But what I want to get a sense from you, and I'll start with you, Marty Paone, right now, is what do you think was accomplished today? We saw the Majority Leader Mitch McConnell pull back a little on the rules that he had wanted to employ. What did we learn from that? And is that going to materially change what unfolds?
Well, time will tell. I mean, Senator McConnell is extremely pragmatic, and he realized he had to make those changes. Probably heard from a number of his colleagues that he needed to make those changes, and if he did, that they would be okay. So, and you then went on to the first vote today, and it was a strictly party line vote. So right now, it looks like he's in good control. We'll see how the votes go today and maybe into tomorrow, but then the key votes will occur next week after what people have had a chance to give their arguments, both sides, and we'll see if enough Republicans vote with the Democrats to call witnesses.
What are you taking away, Elizabeth Krish? Because it is the case, we saw Mitch McConnell pull back a little bit, then we saw the vote on whether documents should be subpoenaed from the White House, and the vote was right along party lines, as Marty Paone just said.
I think we expect to see several more of these, unfortunately or fortunately, depending on how you want to look at it, and presumably they will all be party line. And then eventually, prior to the close of business today, hopefully, we will get to see the actual vote on the rules that will outline the next handful of days, leading up to and including the questioning period of the senators. And I think it's important for the viewers to know that the last time they did this in the Clinton impeachment, there were 150 questions from various senators. Hmm. So that's important to get to that, not just the statements between the two lawyers and the legal team, to have the senators ask the questions and maybe at that point, is there a need for more evidence? Is there a need for more witnesses? That's the way it went during the Clinton trial, and that's really what the majority leader is trying to get through today, as long as the day will be.
Yeah, and Margaret Taylor, we're waiting. We know that they're trying to settle the rules questions today. There was another. They were debating the last time we were able to pay attention to the Senate floor. They were debating another motion, or rather amendment, by the minority, by the Democrats, or asking for a subpoena of State Department documents. We expect that's going to go along a party line vote as well. At the end of the day, if it's all party line, what does that tell us?
Well, it tells us that this proceeding is really turning out along party lines. Just as, you know, in the House, it was largely a partisan process, it's looking like it's now going to be largely a partisan process in the Senate as well. It's, I guess, hard to say exactly where we'll be at the end of 24 hours, potentially, of argumentation by both sides, 16 hours of questions from senators to the parties. It's hard to say. But right now, what we learned today is that both sides are really kind of drawing the lines of where they are, what their arguments are going to be, previewing some of their arguments that I'm sure we'll see again. So I think in addition to being an argument about process, it was also a preview of the substantive arguments we're likely to see going forward.
So John Hart, party line so far as we can see. Right. Mm-hmm. And yet, you know, as Elizabeth was just saying, there is going to be an opportunity for questions. Could that
tell us something different.
Well, it could conceivably, but I think it's important to note that the vote that already happened was 53-47. Right. So that means they're 20 votes short of removing him from office, and then about 4 votes short, because there's a tie, it doesn't prevail, of having additional witnesses. So even if Mitt Romney and Susan Collins vote for additional witnesses, that motion still would not carry. So we have not seen any movement or shift from where we were at the beginning of the day.
Well, to call additional witnesses, you need how many votes?
You would need 51.
You need 51. It's possible, we know that's possible, it would take a few Republicans to join with Democrats for that to happen. We know it's a possibility.
It's a possibility, but I think it's at this point, it's probably unlikely. And there's been a lot of focus on John Bolton. Well, John Bolton is a wild card as well.
White House former
He's a former National Security Advisor who's been allegedly at the center of this matter. And he may not say things that are favorable to Democrats necessarily. And he may come at a cost of having someone like Hunter Biden or Joe Biden testify as well. So it's not a clear-cut win for Democrats to get more witnesses.
I want to talk to all of you, or ask each one of you about some of the issues that have come up today. And one of them, Marty Paone, is executive privilege. I mean, you heard it from the president's attorneys that we don't have to share information. It's within the president's prerogative to keep confidential, privileged conversations, privileged and confidential. So how much of a role do we see that playing?
Well, every administration always tries to wrap themselves around executive privilege to protect themselves from intrusive Congresses. But as Mr. Schiff pointed out, the Supreme Court in the Nixon trial ruled that the body politic, the good of the country, was overwhelmed that. So we'll just have to see. I mean, I don't think much will change. As John and Liz and everybody has pointed out, the votes are there. But if it will be interesting if 3 Republicans vote for witnesses. Will the Chief Justice want to hear witnesses at that point?
If it was a tie, and then if you went from 47, I mean, from...
To 47 from, to 50.
Right.
But anyway, but executive privilege, Margaret is far more intimate with that subject.
And I
want to
ask you, Margaret, about that.
Yes, yeah, so for the viewership here, you know, you saw a lot of argumentation back and forth on both sides talking about the term executive privilege. And I saw the parties sort of talking past each other almost. Executive privilege, it is a constitutionally based privilege, even though it's not mentioned in the Constitution. The Supreme Court has recognized it. But it is a limited privilege, as the Supreme Court has also said. So it's qualified, it's limited. And what the House managers are saying here is, this president has, you know, asserted such a sort of broad notion, such an absolute notion almost of executive privilege, so as to obstruct the work of the Congress. And that is really the basis for Article 2, right, the second article of impeachment. And so they're talking about it in a different way on both sides. It's a little confusing, but that's sort of the heart of it, is the House managers are saying, no, it's not such an absolute privilege that there's no documents and no witnesses. It's a limited privilege. And that's how other presidents have used it, as a limited privilege. This president is using it in an unlimited way, and that's unacceptable.
Elizabeth, how much of a debate, of a question, do you think that is likely to be in coming days?
I'm guessing not much of a real debate, because they talk past each other, and many of them are not lawyers. I think it's just going to basically come down to, is it fair? Is this process fair? You say it's not. I say it is. And basically break it down. That's the way today's debate has basically gone.
You know, speaking of fairness, John Hart, the Democrats keep saying, "Wait a minute! If you're saying that we're gonna have the arguments, and when the arguments are over, then we're gonna have a vote on whether there should be evidence or witnesses." Some people would say that sounds like putting the cart before the horse.
Well, I think what Republicans are saying is it's the House's responsibility. When they bring impeachment to the Senate, they need to bring their case. And what the White House lawyers argued repeatedly today is that it is not the Senate's job to redo and relitigate what the House failed to do. And so and Republicans are making the point, too, that Nancy Pelosi withheld the articles of impeachment for 33 days, which undermines her argument that this is an urgent threat against the Constitution to have President Trump in office.
Marty Paone, what about that? I mean, this cart before the horse, if you want to characterize it that way.
Actually, in 99, the resolution that was adopted 100-0 pretty much lined it up the same way. You had the 24 hours, you had the 16 hours, you had a Byrd motion to dismiss, and then a House manager made a motion to call witnesses. And so Senator McConnell is correct in saying he's tried to replicate that as far as they're concerned. And so we'll see how that goes.
But you're saying that's not a strong argument for Democrats to make. Elizabeth, how do you see that, Margaret?
So I think for, you know, Americans watching this, it's the important thing to keep in mind is the respective roles of the House and Senate. So the House has the sole power of impeachment. And as lawyers, we think of that as sort of the indictment phase, gathering enough evidence to say, has something happened here? There's enough to really think something has happened here. Then the trial phase, generally, so the Senate has the sole power to try the impeachment. That would normally be where witnesses would be called and fleshed out. So I think intuitively, you know, how it's someone's going to have to reconcile how we think of what a trial is here. Mm-hmm. If the president's team and Republicans are going to say, we can't have any new witnesses because that's not the Senate's role, it's really at odds with what we think of as a trial in the Senate. And I think that Republicans and the president's team haven't quite explained why it is that it's improper to call witnesses or get new documents.
Also, in 99 and the Clinton impeachment, even the president himself had sat down for depositions. Like the Starr report, everyone at the White House had sat down for depositions. In this case, you have, you know, the White House stonewalling subpoenas, whereas in the Clinton administration, they all went out and witnessed.
Well, and let me just add to that a little bit. This is the fastest trial in history. I mean, I think other people have said that, the House trial. I think it was 78 days the House had their play in this, and all but the last six, the president couldn't call witnesses, he couldn't cross-examine anybody, he couldn't ask for documents. That's the polar opposite of what happened during the Clinton trial in the House of Representatives. His legal team was involved every single day. So it smacks as a little bit of unfair coming from the House, coming over here. And then you have Senator McConnell literally mirroring exactly how the Senate resolution was done previously. And it was 100-0. So that's where we are with all of it.
Different set of circumstances, but some similarities.
Right.
And we're going to continue to thread our way through those in the coming days. Thank you all. John Hart, Elizabeth Crist, Marty Paone, Margaret Taylor. Thank you. And we'll see you again tomorrow. And you can join our ongoing coverage of the Senate trial for the remainder of this evening. Check your local listings for that. And you can watch online on our website or YouTube. And then again tomorrow, Wednesday, when the trial resumes at 1 p.m. Eastern.